Just one-on-one. For Sydney's largest range of new and recycled timber, visit Swadling's Timber and Hardware.
G'day, it's Gus here from the Dead Set Legends, and you're about to listen to now the unedited version of my chat with Bruce McAvaney. Such a legend of Australian sport and Australian commentary, and unfortunately we can't have the whole interview when we're doing the show. So this is the unedited, the full version, one of the great 20 minutes of my life. I hope you enjoy it too.
Well, what a treat for us this morning to have the greatest, I believe, commentator in Australian sporting history. His name is Bruce McAvaney, and welcome, Bruce, to the Dead Set Legends.
Gus, what a lovely introduction. If only it were true. But anyway, good to talk, mate.
Good on you. Now, a lot of people who love you and have heard your voice for so many years are just wanting to check in and see if you're okay, because you haven't seemed to miss a beat. What keeps you so energised with such a big year with the racing and the footy and obviously the Olympics now next year? How are you travelling, and how do you keep yourself energised?
Gus, I'm going well. I'm energised, I guess, because I'm doing things I love. You know, you mentioned three of those sports, horse racing, which has been busy the last few weeks, football, which Aussie Rules for me, which we're sort of waiting and hoping will be in the next 5 or 6 weeks, and then the Olympic Games, which, whilst they won't be this year, I'm still doing some research on it. So hard not to be energised when you're doing things you absolutely adore. So I'm very fortunate. I'm sort of living the dream, to be honest. So, you know, I'm 67 almost, and I still feel pretty energetic.
Fantastic. It's so good to hear that, because I did see you at the cricket a couple of years ago and you seemed in really good form. What people love about you in particular, and Jude Bolton wanted me to ask you this, is that you and Dennis Comiti have just seemed to have this, I don't know, connection, something to behold, you guys. But he tells me that you used to stand up and watch the game, whereas Dennis used to be sitting down watching on the monitor. Is that right? Is that how you guys best work together?
He's 6'5" and I'm 5'7". Do you reckon that's a good idea? That had a bit to do. I couldn't see over the desk if I was sitting down. Look, yeah, we were very different. And even the way, you know, and how we called, I was more with binoculars. Dennis was more off the monitor. We were about as far apart as you could get, but we did click. We had a wonderful relationship. We still do, but a working relationship. And I guess, Gus, you know, whenever I retire, which is probably not that far away, I'll look back and say how fortunate I've been to work with some great people. But I think Dennis is, you know, he's certainly, for me, very special, to be truthful, because he looked after me, and I hope I looked after him a little bit over all those years.
Oh, Rick, there's absolutely no doubt. You can't have that relationship if you're not looking after each other on and off the field. Jude Bolton, he's a member of our Dead Set Legends. You would have called him many times, a dual premiership winner. We know him as this lovable rogue on the radio. What was he like to commentate on, and what sort of player was Jude?
Courageous. Quite amazing, to be honest. I mean, he had no fear. Now, I guess he did, and that made him even more courageous. But I loved calling Jude. He was bash and crash. He played with his heart on his sleeve. He gave 100%. He's a wonderful player, big-time player in a successful team. And he sort of epitomised, Gus, that sort of, you know, that bloods of the Sydney Swans that they talk about, that spirit. Also that, you know, no dickhead policy that they've got. I mean, Jude's just a good person, a really good person. But a warrior on the field, terrific to work with off the field as well. Again, a team man. So, you know, what a career. I look at him with always feel a lot of affection when I think about Jude, to be honest.
He's so handsome as well. That's the other thing. He's just way too handsome.
It drives me mad. I wasn't going to go there, but yeah, no, he's the full package, isn't he? So there you go. And still handsome after, you know, being bashed about for 15 years on the footy field. I mean, how dare he?
Exactly. Extremely disappointing running into all those people all the time that have seemed to have ticked all the boxes.
Absolutely. And Wendell, you mentioned Wendell because I did a bit of rugby, Gus, going back a long time ago, and when we didn't have the footy, and I got to know Wendell pretty well. And oh boy, what an athlete in full flight. He was quite awesome, to be truthful. So, I loved watching him play observing the fact that he was just a powerhouse and a great guy to go with it as well. So, yeah.
The only thing sad about Wendell is just lacks a little bit of self-confidence.
Confidence. Oh, great. I knew where you were coming from. Yeah, he's always been like that, hasn't he? Poor chap. He's such a retired gentleman. But no. I guess, Gus, that's what made him so successful. Jude was, I guess, a little quieter about his confidence, but, you know, Wendell was, you know, front and centre. He had the Michael Jordans about him, didn't he?
He sure did, yeah. And they're just brilliant blokes to work with, especially in this COVID where we're not seeing a lot of people, to actually just walk into Triple M on a Saturday morning and not be able to hug them and just, you know, get in there. Because I'm a sports tragic and a supporter, never ever played the game at any level, any games at any level. I feel like I'm part of the team, like it's our dressing room, that studio. And I feel very privileged to work with two fantastic blokes.
No, I get it completely. And I feel the same way when I walk into a broadcast box and, you know, you are with a group of people that come from different backgrounds and have achieved different things, and not just on the field but off the field as well. And I have the same feeling. I love that team element, Gus. I sort of thrive on it. I really love being part of a team, and if you can contribute to that team and help in any way, then it gives you an enormous satisfaction. I get exactly where you're coming from.
Now, you've called so many wonderful things, Bruce, and of course, all the way through this interview, we'll be putting little bits of your commentary in there. But Wendell had a question for you. If you could call one thing again, would it be Winks, Carl Lewis, or Kathy?
He knows me so well, doesn't he? can I have all three? Oh, to be honest, I might leave Kathy aside. It was far from the perfect call, but that was a nerve-wracking night. I'd like to just call Kathy, you know, in a minor race, but that final in Sydney was to behold, really. So, an incredible experience. Carl Lewis, well, that was the first Olympics I went to, and he did the Jesse Owens in the Big Four, and then he went on to do the Al Lerter by winning the same event four times. So, a remarkable athlete. Love watching him. Beautiful to watch and beautiful to call. And Winks, well, she just grew and grew in our hearts, didn't she? And we got to really know her and all the people around her. So, Wendell, in answer to your question, I reckon all three or none, because they were nerve-wracking in a way, but at the same time, they've given me so much joy.
Fantastic. Well, that'll wrap up the first part of the interview. We'll be back in a moment, Bruce. We've got a set of questions called the Set of Six. Hugh Jackman's done them, Steve Smith's done them, Andrew Bogut, John Newcombe, amongst many others. So we look forward to hearing more from Bruce after the break.
Gus One-on-One. For Sydney's largest range of new and recycled timber, visit Swadling's Timber and Hardware.
Well, welcome back to the Dead Set Legends. It is Set of Six time, and we have what I believe, and certainly the Dead Set Legends team believe, the greatest sports commentator in Australia's history with us, Bruce McAvaney. And, of course, you can watch all the horse racing on Channel 7. It's an absolute bumper weekend this weekend. And, of course, it's the only sport that's going on in Australia. So Seven's coverage continues Saturday with the Goodwood Day at Mortfordville, National Hall of Fame Race Day at Flemington, and racing from Rose Hill Gardens, 11:30 a.m. live on 7.2 and 7+, and 12 p.m. live on Channel 7. So, Bruce, time for the Set of Six. Question number one, what are you afraid of?
Many things, Gus, in a way, but trying to maintain that sort of masculine image, I'll say crocodiles, because some of the other things are a little bit smaller and you'd probably think I'm a wimp. I do have a fear of crocodiles. My wife, Annie, for a birthday present, took me on the GAN last year. So we went on this beautiful train from Adelaide to Darwin, and then we went out to these buffalo plains where there were a lot of crocodiles, and I must say I did not sleep very well at night. So yeah, that'll do, crocodiles. I've got this fear that I'm going to be trapped by one day and won't be able to get out. So there you go.
I would jump in the way for you, Bruce. We need to keep you alive for as long as possible. Yeah. So I've got your back if I'm ever in that situation with you.
I've got a good memory. Don't you worry. I've got a good memory. I'll take you up on that.
Okay. Question number two, what would you tell your 10-year-old self, Bruce?
I reckon that, Gus, practice the things I wasn't good at. I couldn't really kick on my left foot. I was okay, but I really should have practiced a lot harder. My father taught me how to play footy, but I only practiced really the things that I felt comfortable. So kick on my left foot and play off the back foot, not the front foot, because I had trouble with short pitch bowling. So they're the two things that I reckon I'd really drill home now. If I was 10 years of age, left foot kicking, I want to be a two-sided player, and my first movement when batting should be back rather than forward. So you know where my priorities lay and were when I was 10 years of age.
Like all of us. And, of course, so many great batsmen. You said earlier you were 5'7" and a bit. So many brilliant batsmen, Bradman, Ponting, Tendulkar, Lara, all around that height. And they played the short ball as well as they played the full-length deliveries.
Gosh, you're making me feel really bad. I feel like I'm an absolute failure now because I'm the right height and I should have been averaging 99.94.
Well, Smithy's not that big either, but we won't go there. Question number three, what is your sliding doors moment, that moment in your life where you think if it had gone the other way, it may not have worked out as well as it has?
Well, there's two, but I'll go the shorter story, and they certainly relate to the same thing. Deciding to leave telecom, I was a clerk in the public service, got an opportunity to broadcast greyhound racing, trotting and horses on a radio station in South Australia, 5DN, and that was in about 1977, 1978. So, and it was a big thing because my father said, don't give up that permanent job, even though he loves sport. And my mother said, take a chance. And so, yeah, I took the chance and went off to the media. So I guess the rest is a bit of history. So, yeah, that was my big moment in the late 70s in South Australia, working in Adelaide.
I think that's beautiful. And good on your mum back in the day to saying, go for it, son. I absolutely love that. Question number four, your biggest regret, if you have one?
Got a lot of things I'm not happy with that I've done over the years and wish I hadn't. And I don't wish really for anything, Gus, but I'd love to have learned another language. And I did French and Latin at school, but not to the point where I could speak French. So if I had my time again, I would love to have learned, Spanish. Probably these days you'd learn Japanese or Chinese as well. I'd like to be fluent in three or four or five languages, Italian, French. So yeah, that's the one wish. If I had my time over again, I'd get cracking on that when I was pretty young.
Question number five, Bruce, who's your biggest hero and role model and why?
For me, Gus, it was sports people or broadcasters. So, I looked up to a lot of sports people and idolised a few of those. But I reckon it's the broadcaster, Bill Collins. So he was a race caller in Melbourne. He had the record for the most number of Melbourne Cups until Greg Miles broke it quite recently. And I grew up in Adelaide listening to Bill Collins call. And I said to myself as a very young boy, I want to call the Melbourne Cup because he was brilliant. He could do anything. But he had a voice and a rhythm that made me very excited. And some of his calls I can, still basically do adverbatim now. I mean, Zima, Lightfingers, dead heat in the Melbourne Cup in 1965. And, he called that incredible race with Bone Crusher races into equine immortality. So I wrote to Bill when I was 11 years of age from Adelaide. My mum helped me and said, dear Mr. Collins, what did I do to become a race caller? And he replied. So there you go. So I knew from a very young age what I probably wanted to do. And it was all through listening to this race caller in Melbourne, Bill Collins. And he just got me very, very excited. And he was my inspiration.
Fantastic. And Jude told me something last night when he knew that I was talking to you this morning. He said that he believes that you can pretty much go back to 400 out in the Melbourne Cup and call most of the Melbourne Cups. Is that true?
Well, it depends on how many drinks I've had, Gus. I can do a few of them, that's for sure. But it depends on how wound up I am.
Beautiful. I love that. Well, the last question, and thanks again so much for joining us on the Dead Set Legends. The last question is, what's the best advice that you have ever received?
I think back to my parents. Probably, I'm going to go to Mum. Poor old Dad, neither of them are here. So Dad's getting the bad end of the stick and your Mum's getting the good end of the stick, but she'll be pleased. she told me a lot of things, but she did tell me one day that I should not drink beer at lunchtime because I was living at home and I was calling the trots, I reckon, that night, and I was having a beer out the back, and she said, Bruce, you shouldn't be drinking at lunchtime. And you know what, Gus, it's stuck in my head. And even now, I rarely have a drink before 5 o'clock, so there you go.
You know, Mum's always right.
In my case, she was right a lot, but like a lot of people, I had a real special one. But there you go. don't drink beer at lunchtime. Pretty basic, but it's worked okay.
That's perfect. I mean, if you think of the great sports broadcasters, Bruce, in Australia, you know, Richie Beno, 2 for 22, and everyone's got their voice. And, of course, the 12th man brought that all alive, didn't he, through the 80s and 90s. Your catchphrase, I suppose, is special. And there was a mate of mine, when I told him I was talking to you, he said, I saw Bruce up in Byron Bay last year or a couple of years ago. And he goes, he was ordering. And I just wanted to say, Bruce, are you going to have the special? You know, when you were talking to the waitress. How often do people just shout that out to you? Because I'd imagine they're doing it because they want to show you that they know who you are, but also it's got a nice affiliation for them. It's a very positive, nice thing for them to say to you.
It's a great way to introduce themselves to me, isn't it? No, I get it a lot, and look, it's lovely. It really is. And then, you know, that arcs up something more because I'm able to respond, and then we have a laugh or a chat depending on where I am and what we're doing. So, yeah, look, it's stuck, hasn't it? So they could say worse things to me, couldn't they, Gus? So it's always a nice greeting, and it's going to be with me for the rest of my broadcasting life. So, I get it a lot. And Byron Bay, yeah, Annie and I were up there about 18 months ago, I reckon. And a good part of the world, mate, a good part of the world.
You had a lovely chat with my mate Wombat, who stopped you and was a little bit shy in doing it, but you stopped for 30 seconds and gave him your time, and he never forgot it. So thank you for giving your time to the Dead Set Legends this morning, Jude, Wendell and myself. Just so grateful. And all the best with your year coming up, your health, the Olympics next year, and long may it continue, Bruce, and thanks again.
A pleasure, Gus. I really enjoyed it, mate. All the best.